So I reached out to Genesis about the October 25th thing,
Okay.
which I'm going to get James to come with us. My
James.
brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, hey, is it cool if Obed comes? And she's like, does he like want his own tent? Like, do you want his own thing? If so, he just needs to fill out like a registration. I'm like, no, I want him to be in our tent. Like, I want to
Yeah.
have a good time, you know? So I was like, no, it's going to be me and him. And I didn't even mention my brother because I didn't know if he was going to be able to make it. And she said it was cool.
Nice.
And then she's like, she texts me her number. She's like, hey, like, I have another opportunity for you. Like, let me know when you have time to chat. So I immediately text her back. And I was like, hey, what's up? Like, would love to talk about this opportunity. She's like, cool, let's meet up on like Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Sunday?
No, this Sunday.
Oh, you're meeting up
Yeah,
this
we're
Sunday.
meeting.
Okay.
So I have no idea what she wants to talk about.
Oh, nice.
But I'm kind of at a point where it's like, opportunity? Yeah, sign me up. Like,
Yeah.
whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Sure, let's do it. So we'll see. You
Yeah.
know? She
Yeah.
just she was in some like beauty pageant or something like that.
Yeah.
What was that
She,
about?
I don't know. That's what she does. She does like beauty pageants. Then she has this Resilience Queens or
Yeah.
something like that. She gave me a book that she wrote. She wrote that book.
Can I borrow it?
Yeah. I mean, you
I
bought
should
it.
buy it. I should just buy it.
Yeah, help her
Yeah,
out. Yeah.
100%. I should just buy it.
Support.
Yeah. Well, because I want her on the cast.
Yeah. You should. And then read it, and then that way it gives you a bunch of questions to ask her and.
Dude, so I just had a podcast with a colleague of mine. Her name's Blessing,
Okay.
and she's
Oh, the one that you were having on.
yeah,
How did
yeah,
that
yeah.
go?
Dude, went so well, bro. She
Yeah.
crushed it.
Oh,
She
nice.
crushed it. So the thing is I try to do I wanted to do the podcast in here, like a solo cast
Right.
here, and then like not stream it, but video record it using the software that I
Right.
bought in here. But my internet was so bad.
I remember you telling me
So
you had to go to
bad.
your sister's
Had to go to my
house.
sister's house. And what's funny is like in here I can control the lighting.
Over there, yeah.
Nothing. I got nothing. So I wasn't really happy with like what my setup was, but when we got her on the podcast, dude, Blessing did amazing.
That's
She
awesome.
did so well. And the reason why I bring that up is because she wrote two books.
Oh, really?
So she has a book called They Told Us to Dream. And it's all
Mm.
about like chasing your dreams
Right.
and like how to think about it and like what, you know, kind of her experience has been. And then she has another book where it's like a series of poems that she wrote. And yeah, dude, I read both of them and then I showed up and
You were ready.
I was ready, bro.
Yeah.
I was ready. So I enjoy doing that. It's a lot of fun to like prep
It is.
for a guest, you know what I mean?
And not just that, but you grow in knowledge too.
Super,
Yeah.
super knowledge. And you kind of get it like what's nice about them writing the book is you get to like kind of dive into their mindset. So you get to understand how they think. And then you can kind of base questions around that,
Yeah.
if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
So you're
100%.
almost, cause you're almost like, so, cause I kind of want to like throw them softballs. But Blessing did not need a softball. She was
She was like,
amazing,
throw me a
bro. Yeah, dude, she was
curveball, dude.
amazing. So I was really happy to have her on,
That's
you
awesome,
know.
dude.
But the thing is it's on that footage, and like, I like looked at some of it so far. I haven't like watched the whole video. I'm like, just please, nothing go wrong. Nothing go wrong.
It's always something.
It's always something, dude.
But it's all good, dude.
Yeah, man.
I think you can't. Where we mess up is that perfection,
Dude.
where we want everything to be perfect. But have you ever realized? Well, this is just my own personal experience, right? Like when I go out, or when I used to go out, I was like, man, I gotta look clean, fresh, whatever,
Yeah.
right? And I look good, whatever, and I feel good. I don't talk to anybody. When I look all ratchet, like I can care two shits, or whatever. Can
Yeah, of
I?
course.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm like, I can care two
Yeah.
shits, and dude, I have the best time ever, dude. Like
That's
talking to
awesome.
people, because it's obviously it's not how you look or whatever,
Yeah.
right? It's and not trying to be perfect or anything. It's just you're a human being. You accept yourself for who you really are,
Yeah.
and you just go for it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I used to do that unconsciously, right? Like I'm like, damn, like every time I'm like, I don't feel comfortable
Yeah.
or whatever, but. This is when I actually go for it and the outcomes are better. But when I feel more comfortable or confident, I'm like, nothing, right?
Yeah, what do you think that is? Do you think it's like a pressure thing? Like if you just kind of set yourself up so for like I look good, like and you almost give yourself like a certain expectation for an outcome.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, like now I gotta perform. And
Yeah.
then you.
And it comes down to ego
Oh, for
because
sure.
when you look good, you're like, oh, yeah. I look good. I look fresh. You know,
For
I'm gonna
sure.
have all this attention. or whatever. But yeah, you might have attention, but if you don't go out of your ego and talk to people, then it's going to be on the same spot.
Right? 100%.
I mean, not the same spot, but you're going to have the same outcome of, okay, you look good, yeah, that's it.
Totally.
Opposed to like, you know, they're kind of ratchet, but I don't care. I'm going to go have fun. I'm going to talk to people. I'll probably make new friends and stuff. And it comes out a lot better. You feel better. I mean, at least that's what I experienced, but that was unconsciously, you know, and I would think about it. I'm like, damn, like I got this cute girl's number looking all ratchet and stuff. And like,
and I don't even think it, like, honestly, like with girls, it's just confidence.
Yeah. 100%.
You know what I mean? And like, if you're just confident in your skin and you just have like a good, like, aura about you and they can relate.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you're wearing. Yeah. It might get your foot in the door.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's like, that's how human anatomy is, like, versus the appearance attraction. Right.
Yeah.
And then after that, it goes in deeper.
Right.
Cause I mean, it's like, you can see like this beautiful girl and you're like, damn, she's really pretty. And you go and talk to her and it's like, she's an airhead.
Mm-hmm. Right? Either an airhead or just like not, you're just not vibing with her or something.
Or like she's too arrogant.
Yes.
So it's
100%. Dude. Yeah. That's funny. No, this is going to sound really bad, but like in my later 20s and like now in my 30s, mm-hmm. I really just dressed like the way I want to dress for me. Like, yeah, I know, like basketball shorts and these shoes. Like, I just don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's times where I think there's a time and place to dress up well. Sure. I've got like this fedora hat that I really like. Mm-hmm. I love that hat. I can't find the occasion to wear it.
Just wear it.
I know. I should just wear it. Yeah. I should just wear it.
Even if you're just going to go outside and do something, just wear it.
How about this? When I get Genesis on the podcast, I'll wear the hat.
I'm going to call you out if you don't.
Oh, well, you know what's funny? The reason why I say that is because I know that she'll come like done up.
Oh, dude, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, she'll come down us
all. She's a very well put together lady now.
Yeah, I'll put on my Chelsea boots and everything, bro.
Do it.
Yeah, I'll make it a thing.
Do it. Oh, yeah. For sure, dude. Yeah. And watch her show up all casual and like
in sweatpants.
But knowing her, no, she won't.
Yeah, she'll be chill.
She's been through a lot that she takes care of herself now.
Oh, 100%. Well, I think she's just I think that's just her style.
And that too. And yeah. I mean, she does pageants, bro.
Totally. Totally. Well, I remember when she was at the gym, I'd always compliment her because she'd have sunglasses on.
Oh, it's dude,
4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, and she would always have always her glasses on.
Yeah. That was like, that's just her style.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, damn, where's the sun at?
Yeah. Well, I asked her about it once, and she's like, oh, this is just what I do. It's how I dress.
You know, I mean, we can go deeper with that, right?
Yeah.
So... that brings me back to when I was like in sixth grade, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was sixth grade. Wait, was it? No. Yeah, it was sixth or seventh. No, it was sixth grade. Yeah, sixth grade. It's something about sunglasses. Like for her, it would be something about sunglasses, right? But for me, it was pens, having pens in my pockets.
Pen?
Pens, yeah.
Like a pen.
Like a pen.
Interesting.
But it was like gel pens, like colored gel pens. And it was like having them in my pocket. And I would, it was like...
Really?
Yeah, dude, like an arsenal of pens, dude.
What?
Yeah, but it made me feel, I guess in a way I was borrowing the colors of the pens and the fact that I had the pens to feel either like seen or important or something. You know, there was a feeling behind it.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about it when I saw her with the glasses, and it just took me to that spot, that memory.
How old were you?
I was like, dude, I was in sixth grade.
So okay, sixth grade.
Like 13, maybe.
Yeah, okay. I remember my face.
Yeah. So it was like something. So when I saw her with the glasses, I'm like, every time, sunglasses, right?
Yeah.
You know, not bashing on you, Genesis.
Yeah.
It's just something we noticed, and it triggered something. So this is why I'm saying it.
All right.
Cool. She's cool. But, so I don't know. It could be something deeper. Like it's a way maybe she coped with something with sunglasses.
Interesting.
And it, you know, stuck with her subconsciously. Yeah. So, or it could just be her style. Right?
Totally.
So, but for me it was that. And I remember too, you know, those sweatbands that you would put on your wrist.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. I would wear that. I would have one on my forearm too. Yeah. I remember. I think I found a picture when I was like and I had him on. Doing my son calls that the Sigma face.
Oh yeah, that's so funny, bro. My sixth grade look, I used to have a mohawk, a little spiked mohawk.
Yeah,
and I was like into like kind of rock.
Wow.
So I'd always wear like a Korn shirt or something like that, and then I had the two sweatbands. And then I had like a ball necklace right here. Oh my god. The phases we go in are hilarious.
That was the stuff back then, bro.
Yeah. No, I'm not embarrassed by it. It's just funny. It's just funny to think about. No, it's funny that you brought up going back to what we were talking about earlier about wanting everything to be perfect.
Yeah.
So that is actually something that I had written on today's conversation because we talked about last time.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And just like wanting everything to be perfect. And from an entrepreneurial perspective, I think that's been one of my like hardest things to overcome because I want everything to be perfect before I release it.
Yeah.
Like you got here and I'm like, dude, I'm trying to like master the lighting in here and like my mind's always thinking about like, how can I make this as perfect as possible? Right. And it hasn't been until like recently that I'm like, I can't wait for it to be perfect.
Right.
I just have to put it out there.
Yep.
That podcast that I just released with my brother and our buddy Eric, dude, I was like so upset about it. I was so upset about it. It was a great conversation. The I just used the cameras. The visuals were better. Everything was better except for the audio.
Yeah.
And that really just was like, it deflated me tremendously. Right. But I think, but nevertheless, like I put it out there.
Yeah.
And I'm slowly learning that no matter what, I just have to like put that foot forward. And like any progress is progress at this point. Mm-hmm. I don't have a million people watching us. Like it's not like. You know,
Not yet.
No, not yet by any means. In my mind, I'm thinking like, oh my God, am I going to embarrass myself?
Right.
But I'm getting to that point where I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I just have to put it out there.
Yeah.
I have to put it out there. And then I have to also be willing to sit back and like look at myself in an objective way and be like, okay, I could have done this better. I could have done that better.
So self-grow in a way.
Yeah, 100%.
Self-growth.
Yeah. And so the whole point is like, I think that that's like I think there's a little bit of a trap in wanting everything to be perfect.
Oh, 100%, dude. Because when, and I mean, from what you're saying, it's how I used to take it. Because when I started my business, my mind would go to the future. Like, what if I run into this problem? Yeah. Like, what am I going to do? And what if I run into this other problem? What am I going to do? Or this costs this much amount of money. Like, how am I going to pay that off?
Right.
And, you know, you go to the future, you start thinking about the future, and you start to build that. You start killing your confidence.
Totally. Dude,
because you're comparing, not comparing, but you're worrying about things that you haven't even crossed. That bridge is like miles away still, but you're already looking at it and like, dang, how am I going to conquer that? Which there's nothing wrong, right? You can plan ahead. But if we start planning ahead and we don't focus on where we're at that bridge that we're at right now, which could be just put it out there, right? Or for me, it was like, just go for it, dude. If we don't focus on that bridge, we're never going to cross that bridge and we're never going to get to that other bridge.
Totally.
So it's just taking that leap, going for it, and whatever comes out, you know? And the most important part is learning from it. Because a lot of the times we try to be so perfect that we don't even, I mean, you can be like, oh, I got the lighting's all perfect, everything. Next time you set up again, you're like, how did I have the lights? Yeah. You know, because you were so focused on trying to like get that perfect scene. And then once you got it, you didn't even notice, oh, I had my light settings at this amount illuminations or whatever, right? And it's like, we're so focused on the future that we don't focus on the right now.
Yeah. You bring up a really good point. Just like the fact that you're not thinking about what's in front of you right then and there. You're thinking about like what's going to happen. Like not just like future, you know, possible, problems, you know, problems or issues or anything like that. Yeah. But you're so focused on like you should, I really should just be focused on one thing at a time.
Yeah.
And then growing off of that and learning off of that.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But it's hard. I mean, as an entrepreneur, you know how it goes. It's like you got marketing and then you got sales and then you have the job itself. Like you're a mechanic.
Yeah.
You have to worry about that. But then you have to worry about, okay, well, you know, am I going to be able to, you know, generate new clients in the future? Like how do I scale this? How do I get it bigger?
Yeah.
You know? And then like then there's the licensing thing. Like, we have to make sure that we're registered in the state of Colorado, yeah. and we have to make sure we're doing our taxes. I owe the state money because I forgot to register my taxes 1 month.
Yeah.
And it's like, damn, like all these little things, dude, you know? It's a buildup.
Oh, 100%. You know? And that's the other thing too. Like, you want, because obviously you can go wanting to do everything perfect, right? Oh, I got to save this much amount for my taxes. I have to do this for my damn, I lost the word. there it came back. The marketing, right? I had to do all these things, right? And it's like you start worrying about it. To me, my experience, it's like, yeah. I start worrying about. Like, for example, I had this job I had to do, right? And it was a pretty big job. And like, I started stressing about it. I'm like, I don't have all the tools that I need to mm-hmm. do it. I'm like, the client already brought me the car. I already have the part. I'm like, it was just so much stress that I was like just making me stall.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like,
yeah.
So I had to suck it up. I'm like, and again, it comes down to pride and ego. I'd suck it up, call the client. I'm like, hey, I don't have all the tools. I know I told you I was going to be able to do it, but I'm not going to be able to do it. And the client was super cool. Like, he was like, hey, I understand, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, regardless, maybe I lost that client, but it's okay. At least I didn't stress myself out.
Yeah.
You know? But it's accepting that, right? And it's accepting the fact that not everything's going to be perfect. You know, but obviously I have to do my job as perfect as I can.
Yeah.
You know, fix the car, leave it better than either better or how it was. You know, like, if I fix the car, cool. But put everything back. Don't have any extra bolts, because I'm not an engineer, so I don't know if that bolt's very important. So it's, but if you took a bolt off, remember where it's at, put it back. You know,
totally.
Because, so, you know, there's that joke. I'm smarter than an engineer. I'm like, why do you need this bolt for? Are these bolts for? You know, like, these are extra bolts. Yeah, I didn't need them, you know, but
you need them their somewhere. Purpose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's so funny, exactly, dude. So. That's so funny. So, I mean, I guess here's my question for you. Where do you feel like you stall right now as an entrepreneur? Like, where do you think, like, what's the hardest part in your business? Because you and I have completely different businesses.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. You know, I'm much more like social media, online, e-commerce, yeah. like kind of like I live down here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas you're in the field.
Yeah. I think where I stall, or like where it's a little harder for me, it's with myself.
Interesting.
And I'm being straight up honest, yeah. vulnerable right here. It's where, like, promoting myself, because I'm scared to promote myself and get like a huge wave of clients that I can't keep up.
Yeah.
And that really scares me. So in a way, I kind of set myself back a little bit.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's where I find it hard, because yeah. here's the thing. Like, again, you know this, I have my faith and stuff. So, like, last year was one of my hardest years. It was like, do I really want to keep doing this? Do I want to be a mechanic anyways? Or do I want to be something else? And I was like, man, if I want to be something else, what would it be? And I was like, I could be a police officer. I would like to do that.
A police officer?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be super cool.
And if I can't, then I'll be a barber, you know? Like, yeah. I used to cut my own hair when I had hair. And I used to cut my dad's hair. I cut my nephew's hair. I cut my son's hair.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not perfect, but practice makes better, yeah. right? So I was like thinking that. And every time I would think that and like stress about it, and I'm like, how do I follow yeah. this? And so I was like, all right, I'm gonna call my friend and be like, hey, I'm interested. Hook me up with your friend so, you know, I can get my foot in the door. Dude, every time I made that call, boom, work.
Interesting.
I would get busy. And I'm yeah. like, you know, it was like kind of like, I was just like, oh, you know, whatever. But now I see it and I'm like, oh, that's not where I'm supposed yeah. to be. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Because
yeah.
again, like, I did that again when I was stressing out about that big job. I was like so stressed out that I was like, man, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired. I want to like quit this and blah, 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 blah. Right. And then I stop and think and I'm like, if I do go become a police officer, it's like now it's kind of a 9-to-5 job, right? So the freedom I have now, it's gone. The time I spent with my son, gone. It's limited now. Well, not gone, but limited. And, you know, time with family and stuff, it's just, it becomes limited. And I was like, no. I even applied, though. I did apply.
When?
Last week, I think. I applied to...
No way.
Yeah, I applied
that
to...
That recent?
Yeah, I applied to Arvada Police Department.
No way. Yeah. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, but this is how I know it's not meant for me.
Yeah.
But I'm being stubborn.
Yeah.
You know, instead of being like, okay, I get it. This is where I'm supposed to go.
Yeah.
They replied. They're like, hey, we require a 4-year degree. Are you going to get that soon? And I'm like, I didn't even reply back because I was going to be like, nope.
Hold on a minute. They wanted you to have a 4-year college degree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In criminal justice, at least.
That's so silly to me.
Yeah. I mean, even I Googled it, right? And yeah. It said it is required,
yeah.
But it's not something that you must have.
Yeah. Well, I feel like in that scenario, you need to know somebody who knows somebody.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm like really, when I was younger, I was all about college and like going out there and getting your education.
Isn't that what your friend, that kind of, I mean, from the book that she wrote, what was it, Dream?
Yeah, They Told Us to Dream.
They Told Us to Dream?
Yeah.
It's kind of like how we were.
Dude, it's just exactly how like we were raised to think is yeah. Like you should go to school, get a college degree, get a job. That's why I went and got my MBA. Actually, the reason why I got my MBA is because it gave me a reason to move to France for a year. That's the honest to God truth. But like the more I think about it, the more I'm like there's absolutely no reason to go to college unless you specialize in something. If you're a doctor, okay, oh, I get it. Sure. If you're a lawyer, okay, I get it. But as a police officer, that makes no sense to me.
No.
But in my opinion, I think police officers should be required to know a martial art.
Martial arts, not just that, but also
like psychology. They
psychology,
should know sociology, how to talk to people, how to calm people down.
Yeah.
Like I think the requirements to be a police officer should be far more stringent than they are, but they should also be paid a lot more than they are.
Oh yeah,
dude. You know what I mean? Like yeah. Police officers are completely underpaid and underappreciated in my opinion.
Yeah.
But if I see a police officer who's out of shape, I'm sorry, I think that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
Personally, I mean if you think about the job and the job requirements, like would I like to be a police officer? That'd be cool. There's no way I could be a police officer. I would never be able to stop anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just be honest. Like, that job requires a certain amount of physicality.
Oh, for sure.
And intelligence. Dude. And I think that, and I feel like it's not emphasized enough. So I'm just really kind of baffled that they are asking for a 4-year college degree.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, granted, you know, like I said, you have to know the laws of the state or whoever you're working for. I mean, that's.
But that's part of the academy, I would assume, right. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously, I mean, like how you said, some psychology should be done because sure. I mean, I like to see, you know, like there's this video on YouTube or video. There's this channel that I like to follow on YouTube. It's called Self Defense, Active okay. Self Defense, and they take videos, like actual videos of people that use firearms and stuff.
Yeah,
like victims and stuff like that, and they go over it and they explain like, hey. This is what you should be doing. This is what's not right. This is what's legal. This is what's not legal. This is what could get you in trouble. You know, so it's like it educates you, right? And I see like some badge cams from cops, and when obviously they're like their adrenaline is pumping, right? Because they're like, there's a guy with the gun over here, blah blah blah. But they should be able to control that. You know, like okay, this is this got called in. You know. Control it. You can think smarter opposed to when your adrenaline is pumping. Mm-hmm. Like when I see those videos, they're like, put that fucking gun down and like blah blah blah, like cussing them out, like hey, like this f yeah. that. And it's like, okay, I'm trying to see you're trying to, you know, show your authority and stuff yes. like that, but that's not, I don't think that's
that doesn't
de-escalating
help.
The situation. I think that's escalating the situation totally. More, right?
Yeah.
And granted, maybe, you know, you can probably be like, hey, put the gun down. I'm armed. Gun's pointed at you. Please don't do anything. Right. That's going to cause me to defend myself. You know, blah, blah, blah. Like, try to calm it down. Hey, we're trying to help you out here. You know, just put it down or whatever, right? But they're like, like I said, their adrenaline's pumping. Blah, 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 like, put that fucking down, gun down and come over here. Or put your hands up and blah, blah. And obviously, if they open fire on you, then that's.
Well, I mean, look, like, I think you said it perfectly. Like, their adrenaline's going. So when you're in that fight or flight mode, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to, like, really, like, fall back on just, like, okay, what do I do here?
Right.
Take three breaths and calm down. That's not always how it works. No. Ever.
No. And right? you got split seconds to react, right?
Exactly. But my point being is I don't think the cops, and no discredit, you know, no disrespect to them at all.
None at all.
Aren't trained for it. No. They should be having to go through these, like, these exercises all the time so that when they get into those situations, they know how to act.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the academy is like. I don't know what ongoing training is like. But I can't imagine that they're going through these, like, high-stress situations all the time.
Right.
If you watch somebody or if you listen to somebody who was, like, a Navy SEAL or somebody who's going to be in combat, if you listen to Jocko Willink, mm-hmm. who was an ex-Navy
SEAL. Yeah, I know who that is, yeah.
He talks about the fact that they go through these high-pressure situations over and over and over and over and over again so that when they're in the field, like, they know how their body's going to react. They know how their mind's going to react. They know how to, like, deal with it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the police really have that ability to do that. But yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, it's a tough job.
It is.
And like, luckily I don't get in issues with the law.
I got pulled over on Sunday.
Did
for the
you?
First time. Yeah.
For the first time?
In a while.
Like, ah, okay. Time. Okay.
Yeah. I got pulled over on the truck because I don't have my plate on there because I have it on the windshield.
Oh, shit. And, on the front?
Yeah. No, the back plate. Oh, so the one with the tag and everything. Yeah. I have it on the windshield. And I already knew he was behind me. And I was like, I don't have my plate, so.
He's
going to get me, you know, whatever. So he pulls me over, right? So I get off. Like, I put my hazards on so he knows that I acknowledged him. I get off the main street, you know, get off to a side street. I roll down my window and he's like, you know, I pulled you over. I was like, no. He's like, I didn't see your license plate. I was like, oh. Here it is, officer. Yeah. And then put it back. He was like, oh, well, let me get your license, registration, insurance. I was like, yeah, sure. Give it to him. He's like, just went to go check, make sure I didn't have, like, any warrants or anything like that. And he's like, hey, here's my card. You know, just, it's reported that, you know, I pulled you over because you didn't have a plate, but you do have a plate and all that stuff. And I was like, all right, cool. Hey.
Did he give you a citation or anything?
No. No.
That's a cool cop, though.
Yeah, he was cool. I mean, granted, it depends. The cop could be cool or you can be an ass depending on how what their day's looking like and obviously how you're
I was gonna say I think a lot of it's how you react.
Yeah.
I think it's how you interact with him. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My father is a judge. Mm-hmm. So I grew up around the law enforcement.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of used to it more or less. But it's a human being. Like, show them respect. Exactly. They're gonna show you respect too.
Exactly.
And it's not like we live in a part of Colorado that's, like, super ghetto.
Yeah.
So it's not like he has to be on high alert.
Right.
But if you approach him or if you interact with him with, you know,
a hostile, I mean, of course, that's like giving him probable cause or something.
Well,
right?
I mean, just imagine being in their shoes and, like, somebody being disrespectful to you for no reason. Of course, you're gonna be like, oh. Well, I am in a position of authority, so let me just show you
exactly,
you know, what happens when you rub me the wrong way, type of thing, you know.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, because my tag's expired, and I still have to get it fixed, and it has California plates, so it kind of, like, sketched out about. I don't know if I told you, but I want to get one of those stickers that has the American flag with the blue stripe. So do you know what that is? It's like, it, like, represents, like, law enforcement.
No.
So it's like a black American flag, and then one of the stripes is blue, and that represents, like, support for law enforcement.
Yeah, yeah.
You can get the same one that's, like, red, and that's like, support for firefighters.
Huh.
So I was thinking about getting a sticker and putting it on my car, so if I ever get pulled over, I'm already, like, like, you know, hey, look, dude, I support you, dude.
Yeah. So give me a ticket, or else I'm taking that sticker off.
But I should probably just get my tags changed. That's really what I should be doing.
Yeah.
It's just so expensive, dude.
Oh, dude. Especially for an Audi.
Dude.
What are you looking like? Almost a grand, huh?
$1,500 to register it. It's cheaper to do it in California.
Yeah.
It was $900 to do. No, I'm sorry. It was $600 to do it in California.
I see it pretty expensive, dude.
$600?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%, but $1,500 in Colorado?
Well, I mean, because you're paying the taxes here and then the registration fees and then the plate. Well, and
it's just so ridiculous, bro. Because if you go to, like, I think it's like Wisconsin or something like that, it's like a standard $25 for every car.
No way.
Yes. Some states do like a standard $50 fee, $25 fee, $100 fee, and that's it.
Yeah. That's crazy.
California and Colorado are like, no, we want your money. Yeah. Speaking of which, California sent me an IRS notice saying that I owe them taxes, back taxes. Huh. And I don't. I have already paid. I shouldn't be saying this on camera. I don't know what I'm saying. I paid it. I paid my taxes in California for last year because I lived there for like 6 months. And I don't even want to respond. I called them once and they didn't answer. And they kind of gave me the runaround. Mm-hmm. I'm not. Why is it my responsibility to prove to you that I paid my taxes? Like right. I have the receipt. I've got the confirmation number. I got the email. I've got everything.
Right.
So I kind of want to just. Wait till they call.
Yeah, I kind of. Like, here you go.
Yeah, I know that's really bad.
Hey.
But at the same time, I'm like, I'm so sick. I loved living in San Diego.
Yeah.
Hated living in California. Too much regulation. Too much regulation, dude. That's it. They everything's expensive. You know.
Well, I mean, what's the population over there? It's pretty high.
Oh yeah, super high. I don't know what the total population of California is. So I get it, bro. Like I shouldn't sound like I'm too bitter because I loved living in San Diego. It was beautiful, but it just kind of got old living there. So
I mean, I like to visit. I went there a couple times. Or no, just one time to San Diego. It was really nice.
Yeah, that's what's up. So hold on, I wanted to ask you this question because we kind of
read it out.
That's okay though. That's all right. It doesn't matter. So you said that one of your biggest fear right now is that you don't want to be overloaded with work.
Yeah.
So the way that I look at it, and I don't know how this works at all, and I'm very much like glass half full kind of person. Like, dude, why not overload yourself and then bring on another mechanic and start scaling up?
Well, yeah, no.
And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, 100%.
So
I thought about that too, but so the reason why I don't want to overload is because obviously first it's me, right?
Yeah. You want to take a break real quick?
No, that's all right. Quiet. I'm busy. They can call me. I'll call them after I'm done. Because like, let's say I promote myself, right?
Yeah.
I get like overwhelmed with work, right?
No.
And then I tell a client like, hey, you know, I'll be there like so forth, right? And with my job, it's like that could take that amount of time, but something can happen and then extends, right? So it can take longer. So depending on the job, I mean, if it's...
I see what you're saying. I see. You don't want to overcommit yourself to too many clients and then having to let somebody down.
Exactly. And then I lose that client.
I get that.
Opposed to like, okay, I'll take it slow, build that, you know, that reputation with him. Like, hey,
that's fair.
I'm here. Let's do this, blah, blah, blah. And if it takes longer, then hey, I'm still here. I'll get the job done. But then I'm sacrificing the other client.
That's fair.
Which, I mean, most of the time it doesn't happen, but it tends to happen. For example, yesterday was Thursday, right? I went to a client, right? And, you know, I was diagnosing their truck because they didn't pass emissions. And it's an old truck, so you have to do a certain way to get the codes. So it flashes instead of like, oh, code P, whatever. And then it's engine misfire or whatever.
Right.
This one, it flashes the code. So it's like, for example, the code it was giving me, it was 1 and then 7 flashes and then 6 flashes, right? So it was like a 176 code. And then it pauses, and then it gives you another code, right? So I was checking it, and it was a code for the O2 sensor was stuck lean, so it was running too hot. So that's what caused the emissions to fail. I was like, yeah, you just need your O2 sensor. And he was like, all right. He went and got it. When I was taking the other one out, since the car is so old, it was rusted in there, so the threads came with the sensor. So now I had to plug that one up, weld it. Drill another hole, put another bong, so I can put the other O2 sensor.
Another what?
Bong.
Oh, they said bong.
Bong, B-U-N-G.
Bong, oh, I thought it was bong, B-O-N-G.
No, bong. Bong.
Bong. Yeah, bong.
Yeah.
That's an interesting word.
Yeah, so it's that opposed to like just taking the sensor out, putting a new one in.
Yeah.
Done, right. Clear the codes. Done. Now it's like I have to do even more work. That makes sense.
No, it makes total sense. I'm over here just being the entrepreneur that I am, and I'm like, God, this is such a great like business model. Like, imagine just having a fleet of people. Like, if you had like your own, because I know that you aspire to have your own shop.
Oh yeah.
And if you had like a fleet of people that you could send out on jobs.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a cool business model.
Oh, dude.
You know what I mean? Like, do like in-home like oil changes. Yeah. That is fire, bro.
Dude, but that's the other thing too. Like, a lot of people don't want to work outside. They want to have their lift out from the environment and stuff. Dude, I would love to have a Lyft. It makes, I would have done that job that I was yeah. stressing about. Dude, I would have done that same day.
Yeah, I would imagine. But so here's just my thought on it. The Lyft would totally make sense mm-hmm. if you're doing like a really large, complex type of, you know, job or yeah. operation or whatever. But imagine if you had like some sort of thing, like a business model where you had a fleet of people and they went out and did like routine type things for people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because a lot of people are working from home.
Yeah.
And just be like, hey, I need to get my oil changed. Instead of having to like take their afternoon to go to Grease Monkey or some local mechanic,
right.
you just have somebody come over and do it.
Yeah.
Obviously, it would be harder for you or the people that work for you, but it's not about y'all. It's about the client. It's about,
exactly.
You
know what I mean? No, about the 100%.
Customer. If you're changing, I don't know. I don't know nothing about cars.
Yeah.
But if you have to like, if there's something that requires you lifting it, it makes total sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which a lot of it does.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're gonna do oil change, you still gotta lift it up. And but I mean, granted, there's things that you can do it without a car lift. That's I mean, I've been doing that for so many
years. That's your whole business, right?
Yeah. Now. So. There's no problem, but it does get old. Like,
yeah,
you jack it up, right? Like, for example, you're doing some suspension work. You jack it up, put it on jack stands, make sure it's safe, get your tools, and you're like, damn, I need to go get another one. So you have to get up, go get the tool, come back, and then you start working. Like, I need another tool, so you got to get up. So it's like, it's a lot of work physically, right? Opposed to if you had the lift and then your toolbox there, like, okay, I need a tool.
And you wouldn't have to like stand up and get back down again, stand up, get back
exactly.
down again.
You're already on your feet.
Interesting.
So, I mean, there's pros and cons.
And I would also imagine that like, let me play with this. This is just kind of fun for me to think about it. Certain jobs, you can't really determine how long it's going to take. Like an oil change, you can kind of gauge like it'll be 45 minutes to an hour right. type of thing.
Right.
You know, I'm just throwing a number out right. there. Correct me if I'm wrong. But if someone's like, oh, I need you to, something's wrong with my car.
Right.
And you go there, you don't know what you're getting yourself into. No, you don't know if it's an all day job. You don't know if it's going to be something that you can do in 20 minutes.
Exactly.
Okay. That makes sense.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if I get overwhelmed with like work, it's like,
so how do you manage that though? How do you manage that now?
So I mean, regardless, right? Like, I still try to fit anybody that I can in a day.
Okay.
If they call me like, hey, my car's doing this, and this. Okay, I got this client right now. I'm pretty open, so I'll go check it out after this.
Okay.
I try not to give them a time space because then, you know, like, because it's happened. I'm like, I'll be there like at 3, right?
Yeah.
And I'm still with this client, and I'm still working with this client. It's 2:30, and I have to text them, hey, I'm still here, but. You know, I can still go if you still like if you're open still and you don't need to go anywhere, you're still gonna be home. And usually they're like, yeah, I'll be home the rest of the afternoon or whatever. I'm like, all right, cool, I'll head over once I'm done here. And you know, stuff like that. Some people are cool like that, but some are like on a tight schedule totally. As well, right? And totally. I have to respect that too. And I'm like, hey, I'm still here, it's taking longer than I expected, but I can still go. And they're like, oh, well, that's the only time I had. We can reschedule for another day. I'm like, okay, that'll work. But sometimes, I mean, most of the times we do reschedule, but other times it's like, they're like, you know, this guy didn't really show up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not because I didn't want to. It's because I was, you know.
You were committed to something else at that point.
But back to your point, like how to calculate like what the price is.
Mm-hmm.
For a diagnosis, like to say, let's say my car's running weird, right? Okay. My mind goes to misfire. I don't know. But I try not to think about it because then they'll like stress me out because I'm like, I don't know what I'm getting myself into. Yeah. So now the way I think about it now is when someone's like, hey, my car's running so-and-so. Like, okay. My availability is XYZ, right?
And how far out do you make them book it? Can they do same day?
I can do same day if I'm not that busy.
Gotcha.
Or if not, like the following day.
Yeah.
It just depends on how busy I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't worry about it anymore. I just like, okay, they're booked. That's it. I get there. Hey, what's the car doing? Okay. Hey, let's go for a drive. So you can tell me when you feel it or XYZ. And once I get that, I'm like, okay, now I know where to go and check, blah, blah, blah. Check it. Sometimes it can be, I charge for an hour, right, for diagnosis. Sometimes it can take me 15 minutes, I still charge the hour. Sometimes it takes me 2 hours, I still charge the hour.
Do you charge by the hour? Do you charge by the
hour? But so It's flat
rate. No matter what it is?
No, so it depends. So let's say on your Audi, right? You're like, yeah. I need brakes. Okay. Is it brake pads or rotors? I don't know. Can you come check? Okay. I don't charge for the diagnosis on that. I just like, okay, you just need brake pads. So it can be, it varies on the car. So yours might take like an hour and a half. So that's what I charge, an hour and a half. Not okay. What it takes, how long it takes me to do
that. So you do it like you predetermine how long it's going to take and you charge it based off that.
I mean, I have an app I pay for that gives me like diagrams, labor rates, or not labor rates, but labor time, like how long that job should be, how much I should charge.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, because that kind of gets a little bit of it gets a bit convoluted.
Yeah.
Because again, like let's say you're in the middle of a job and you're like, oh shit, this isn't just like engine failure, you need to replace your entire chassis. I don't know. I just made all those words up.
That's completely different parts, but now you're right.
But I'm just saying, if you run into like an issue where it's like, this is not at all what I was expecting, this isn't a one day job. Like, I'm going to have to be working on this sucker for the next couple of like days, if not a week.
And if it's a big job like that, I turn them down.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I had a client, and he called me. He's like, one of his employees broke down the highway.
Yeah.
And he showed me a picture of what happened. And I was like, okay, cool. I grabbed the belt. It was a serpentine belt. Snap. Mm-hmm. Grabbed the belt. I don't know what I was getting myself into, but I grabbed the belt, went, met the guy. And I was looking. I was like making sure everything was working fine, because if that belt ripped, something kind of went out and cause it to heat up and snap.
What is this belt again? Please
remember. Serpentine belt?
Yeah, what is that exactly?
It runs like your AC compressor, your power steering, gotcha. If you have one, your alternator.
Okay.
Yeah, it runs all that one.
Okay.
So I get there and I'm like checking, make sure everything's spinning right, like the alternator's spinning freely, the idler pulley's spinning freely, the tensioner's spinning freely, everything right. Obviously, I can't check the crankshaft because that thing's moving, trying to move the whole engine. I'm like, I can't do that. But obviously it cranks, so it's moving freely. So then I checked the AC compressor and the pulley was like falling apart.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, this is, I mean, I can do that job, but it's going to take longer and I'm not going to do it on the side of the highway.
I was going to say, you're okay.
Yeah. So I put the belt on and I was like, well, let's see what it does. Right. So put the belt on, turn it on, and the ad engine's like making some loud noises and clack, 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 clack. And then it just stalls out. And so I called my customer. I'm like, hey, you're gonna need a new engine on this. And he was like, can you do that? I'm like, I can, but I won't do it right now. Like, I won't do it because that's too big of a job and I don't have a place to do it or like the lift to do it, make it easier, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I can still do it. I've done it for so long, but I'm like, no, that's gonna take a lot of time. Which as a business person, you have to look at both sides. Like, yeah, this job will pay this amount, right? But it's going to take this long. Mm-hmm. I could take smaller jobs, like 3 or 4 jobs, and that's in a day worth of work that makes the same amount of this. Mm-hmm. So it's like you got to kind of eyeball it and kind of...
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Yeah. Because like big jobs like that, if you don't have like the lift and stuff that makes it easier for you to do it faster, you're going to spend way more time doing that than opposed to like brakes, diagnosing, or other simple stuff, suspension work. So,
That's interesting. It's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, it's
and again, you also don't want to like ruin the relationship with that customer.
Exactly.
And I would imagine that a lot of your business is word of mouth.
Yeah, right now it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just like the business model in general. Like.
Yeah.
You know, would you ever want to bring other people on and scale the business?
Yeah. Yeah. But the other thing too, it's like a lot of people don't want to do, like they want, like I said, they want to be in a shop. They don't want to be out.
No, I totally. And I feel like if anything, you'd have to go with like junior level mechanics or somebody who's like and fresh and new.
That. And then plus I would have to spend the time to teach them how to do it right. Because that's, Again, my business, my name, and everything on the line, right? Because, like, let's say I hire somebody. They leave the lug nuts loose, wheel falls out, causes an accident, and then I'm the one that's, you know, battery. And that one died.
That one died?
Yeah.
Damn.
It's all good.
Did it really die?
Yeah.
Son of a gun.
But
let me take a quick break. So, hold on. We were talking about you scaling the business, bringing people on, and you making sure that you have somebody who
can really do the job.
And I would, to your point, like, I can't imagine there's a lot of mechanics out there that are willing to, like, drive around and do all that. Do you, really quick, I'm going to let you finish your thought. Okay. Do you charge a premium for traveling?
No. I mean, I think I charge like $20.
Okay.
Just for
the travel. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sorry. So you want to make sure that they're like...
Yeah. So that way everything's going good. Like, I prevent any
mishaps.
Yeah, mishaps.
And it's your business, so you got to make sure.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I was talking to, I think I was talking to one of my friends. I was like, when I get ready to, this is when I was a manager at Ava's Budget Group. I was telling my, one of my friends, I was like, when I have my business and I start it and I interview people, my first question is going to be, how's your room? How do you have your room?
What do you mean?
Like your bedroom. Is it organized? Is it a mess? Do you have clothes everywhere? Or is it put together?
You know what would also be like a good test? Is get in their car.
That too.
Right?
That too.
Like get in their car. Because I have friends, God love them, have the nastiest cars and they just leave their trash and like water bottles and... You know, in high school, like, this was probably more of a problem. I don't hang out with kids or people that have messy cars anymore. But I'd get in a friend's car in high school, and it was like, they had, like, old, like, McDonald's bags, like, chilling in there.
Yeah, exactly. So my thought process in that question is, like, if you have your room clean, organized, you're a responsible person. If you don't, everything's a mess. That's just how your brain is.
No.
So it's... Yeah, you might be a great worker. You might do fantastic job, but you might be a little messy. And these are clients' cars, right? So, like, if you're staying with oil, like, you don't want to get in that car.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to get that car dirty because then we're going to have to pay for detailing to get that stain out.
Yeah.
And sometimes they won't come off, you know?
Well, so, it also just says a lot about the person.
Exactly.
And who they're going to be as an employee, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Are they reliable? Are they going to show up on time? Are they going to know and understand like customer service? We all make mistakes.
Yeah.
And as an entrepreneur, and this is another skill that I'm still learning, and you can ask James how bad I am at this. But when I get feedback from somebody, like if somebody writes to me and says they don't like my newsletter or something like that,
you take it very personal.
I take it super personal. You know what I mean? Because I pour a lot into it.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be sending people out on a job, if they mess something up, if they accidentally get the inside of someone's car dirty, how are they going to react to that individual calling them out on it? Are they going to be professional? Are they going to apologize or are they going to push back?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So
it's just, I guess, I mean, I've thought about it, but I guess.
Well, I like this conversation of what you're working on because mechanic and that like being a mechanic is completely out of my realm of understanding. Yeah. And so it's kind of interesting to like learn about this stuff. I feel like I'm surprised you don't charge a premium for going and traveling because you're making it easier on the customer.
Yeah.
And maybe it's your customer base. Maybe they just kind of are used to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I would pay an extra $30, $50.
Some people, they give a tip. Like they'll.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's
so
great.
So they, I mean, I tell them the price and then they give me like $20 more, $30 more, you know?
Okay.
So it kind of balances itself out.
Okay.
So, yeah. I want to stay fair.
Yeah.
You know, with the competition because obviously, they can easily go to their shop. You know, there's Christian Brothers, there's the independent shops, there's all, like the dealership and all that stuff, right?
But they don't come to you.
They don't.
That's what I'm saying.
They don't.
That's what I'm saying. You offer a service that other people aren't doing.
You know there's quite a bit of people. Like I see them around.
Oh, other mechanics that drive around?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's starting to become a thing now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's an interesting business model and I really like it personally. I just feel like in today's day and age, like,
It's more convenient. Dude.
Super convenient. And that's what we're all living for. I mean, think about it. Like grocery stores, now they deliver.
Yeah.
And food, DoorDash. You know, you have all these like eat at home. Everybody works from home. Nobody wants to leave. Granted, I think that that's kind of a toxic way to live personally is to never leave your house. But you're offering a service that makes life so much more convenient for people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you know, you were saying about the groceries and everything's getting delivered now, right? You remember that movie Wall-E, the Disney movie Wall-E?
Dude, I've never seen Wall-E. Oh, I've never seen Wall-E. I know, man. I
That's like, literally where we're heading at, dude. Literally with the bed sitting with the screen, and then our friend could be right next to us, but we'll still be talking to him on the screen, dude.
Yeah, I don't like that. I hate that.
Dude,
I hate that. My nephew, like, thank God my brother and his wife are, like, really astute to, like, what's happening. They do everything they can to keep him away from, like, electronics screens and everything. And I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah.
And I even told James and his wife, I was like, listen, like, you have my promise. If you let me be, like, when I get to babysit him, we're just going to be playing.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'll take him outside. Like, we'll play with his toys. I will keep him away from screens at all costs. Because I just think it's a toxic way to live.
Dude, 100%.
And I just don't see any benefit in it.
Not just that, but, dude, you lose the desire to connect with people.
100%.
And that's one thing that I do like about my job.
You learn the skill. You lose the skill to talk to other people. And then what? Then you can't find a partner. Then you can't make friends. And then you're unhappy.
Yeah. And then you're just living in a dungeon.
Yeah, totally.
But, dude, when I started my business, or even before I started my business, when I was a kid, like, I didn't talk to people, dude. I was very shy, very timid.
Yeah.
But now it's like, no.
I have a question for you. This has kind of popped in my head. So I did a podcast, a solo cast a couple weeks ago on, like, Generation Z and how they're handling the workforce as, like, young adults and, like they're facing some serious challenges. Obviously, one of those challenges is being artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
Is going to replace a lot of those, like, jobs.
Yeah.
My question for you, and it seems like it's affecting more white collar jobs than anything. Are you as a mechanic at all worried about AI in the future and, like, automation and how that would play out?
Not really. But I think where things are going for the automotive industry, a lot of it, like, for scanning stuff, like, you have to have a scanner, right, to be able to communicate with the car. And
that scared the shit out of me, dude.
So now they're going online based, so you're gonna have to pay a subscription to whatever, like, let's say for Ford or GM or Chrysler, you have to pay a subscription to be even scan the cars to get the codes.
Hold on a minute. So you use the scanner to run diagnostics to see what's going on. And now you have to pay for some sort of, like, licensing fee or something like that?
Pretty much. To be able to do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
On newer models, I'm assuming? On newer models,
yeah. Like, for example, my scanner, if someone calls me, like, hey, I have a Jeep. It's a 2018. I can't do anything.
Bro, you're Mexican. You know that there's Mexicans down in Mexico that have come up with some technology that hacks the fucking system and allows you to scan any car you want. 100%, dude. My old roommate. No,
it's very complex, dude. Because, like, if it's 2018, like, my scanner won't even communicate to it.
Okay.
Like, it'll communicate, but it's like, okay, downloading whatever from online. Oh, you're not connected, or you don't have access. And then it says, go to this website and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, but 2018's and up for a Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge. I can't. I don't even touch them anymore.
Like, so you'd have to pay a fee to do that. Is it a monthly subscription or is it something that's,
it can,
like,
be monthly or yearly.
Interesting. And what's the fee? Do you know?
I don't.
Okay.
But I was talking to
That's locksmith. Crazy.
I was talking to a locksmith. He was working on my neighbor's truck. And I was like, dude, what do you use to program computers? And he's like, oh, I use the original software. I was like, oh, that's cool. So he has one for, like, Ford, one for GM, one for Dodge and stuff like that. And he's like, I had to build this thing, back to, like, the Mexican thing. He built his little rig where, like, he can bypass the Chrysler or Dodge stuff, because he was like, dude, if I had to be able to use their program, I had to pay $150 per car to be able to program a key. And I'm like, $150?
And you'd have to pass that on to the customer.
Yeah, of course, because they have to pay for it.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying, dude. Like, it's getting to the point where, like, the mom-and-pop shops are going to...
Yeah.
It's going to get hard.
Yeah.
But, I mean, unless you pay for those subscriptions, right?
Okay. So, but you're not worried about any sort of, like... I feel like, if anything, artificial intelligence, at least in the short term, is going to be beneficial for like blue collar workers.
Yeah.
And it, like with those scanners, for example, like forget the licensing fee and all that stuff, but I'm sure the technology mm-hmm. is going to get better over time.
Yeah.
Where it's going to be able to be a lot more precise with the diagnostics.
Mm-hmm. Like for example, I mean, if you know how to use a scanner, right?
Yeah.
You get a code and you start looking into that, right? Like let's say O2 sensor stuck lean. Mm-hmm. So now you know, okay, that's the code. You go. You don't even have to go check the O2 sensor. You can just go look at the live data mm-hmm. of the how the car's running and everything. And you can see if that O2 sensor is fluctuating or if it is stuck or if it's just fluctuating but it's still on the leaner side. Mm-hmm. Then you're like, oh, yeah. And then either you can do like other tests, like unplug yeah. it, and then if it sets another code, then the O2 sensor is working fine. The other stuff is the communication stuff. But so inside of the O2 sensor, it's... what's not working properly. So mm-hmm. That's easy stuff to like, if you know how to read it, it makes it so much easier. You're like, okay, replace the O2 sensor. You replace it, you go look at the data again, and then you can see it where it's already like fluctuating back. Yeah. To like,
I wonder if there's ever going to be a point, and I would imagine they're probably already working on this if they don't already have it, but some sort of technology that will detect problems before they happen. Mm. Do you see what I'm saying? Like they can yeah. be like, okay, we're starting to see that this part's starting to degrade to a yeah. certain extent. So now it's time to replace, like brakes, for example,
yeah.
before they're completely shot. Yeah. They're like, okay, it's really worn down to a point where you should probably think yeah. about
and replacing they it. Do have it. Like GM started doing it. Mercedes has been yeah. doing it. I think BMW as well. German cars have been yeah. doing it. They have a sensor on the brake pad. So once mm-hmm. that sensor touches the rotor.
Gotcha.
It shows it on your display, like replace brakes or whatever. And it tells you if it's the back ones or the front ones.
Mm-hmm.
And but it tells you ahead of time before you run it all the way down yeah. to where it's like metal to metal. Where it's like when you push the brake, it's just metal and yeah. grinding. And
I feel like stuff. You could just hear that. Couldn't you just hear that?
Like once you hear it, that's too late.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, because before it used to have like this little shim that yeah. when you braked it, it gave you that high pitch
yes.
sound.
Yes.
But a lot of people.
Was that deliberate?
Yeah. That's to warn you, like your brake pads are low. It's time to look into them and possibly replace them, right?
Interesting.
But it's like yep. a lot of people, they have a Christmas tree light on, lights on in the dashboard, and they're like, car's still running fine.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think it's really fascinating. If you were to have talked to somebody like 20 years ago about artificial intelligence and what types of jobs that they were going to replace, I think everyone would have said, you know, mechanics and plumbers and people who I would have thought, because if you think of the way that a car is made right now, they use a ton of like
electronics
sure. and everything. But what's happened is the exact opposite, where yeah. jobs in the blue collar workforce have really been more or less like consistent and, mm-hmm. and stayed the same and haven't really seen too much, you know, change. But in the white collar space, totally different.
Yeah.
Totally different. I was talking to James the other day about again going back to Gen Z and like having done my research. Mm-hmm. Microsoft just laid off 9,000 employees. Damn. And it's the third set of layoffs they've had this year. They've laid off 15,000 employees in totality this yeah. year, and they're all jobs that are like automation type jobs.
Yeah.
So like entry level jobs that you would, you know, hire a junior level, you know, individual to come in and do, you know, as a startup job or, you know, as an like entry-level job or something like that.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting. And in my mind, I'm thinking, like, why wouldn't a mechanic be replaced if you could just, like, drive into a shop, it lift up your car, it take it apart, you know, a bunch of machinery comes in there and does its thing.
But, I mean, it can, but there's a lot of – I mean, I can see where you're going, but
– yeah.
There's a lot of tight spaces that robots – I mean, granted, have you seen, like – maybe once they get to the point where like a robot's just like a human being, like they can do it like very skinny or whatever, like it's
yeah. you know,
very thin and can fit however, twist its yeah. wrist and break loose.
I see what like, you're saying. I see what you're saying.
But yeah. dude, there's places where like spots in the car that you're like you're bent
there's no over, way
like,
you can go into it. Yeah. Yeah, but what if they could? But what if the thing could? And this is just me playing with like just ideas. What if the machine could take the whole car apart?
But how long would that take to put it back together?
Super fast if it's a machine. But if it's super precise, it's like jint, 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 jint.
I mean, I can see why you're saying that. But, dude, it's – you know how long it takes to build a car?
No idea.
You should Google that.
No idea. I want to know how long it takes a machine to build a car.
Well, technically, it's a line, right? It's the building line. So you've got humans putting stuff together, bolting it on and everything, right? But it takes time.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, like, okay, the computer only knows, like, let's say it's taking out an engine,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
It knows.
There goes that one.
Yeah. It knows that, like, it has to take these bolts off and blah, 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 right? Yeah. And it takes everything off and it moves it apart, right? It's coming down. It catches on something. And, like, let's say it's like, oh, that shouldn't happen. It should just drop, right? Yeah. And you keep pulling. Maybe they break something, you know? So it's like stuff like that. So it's
interesting.
Yeah. And like plumbers, mechanics, construction workers, those are going to be jobs that they can be replaceable with AI, but not right now. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Well, I just don't think that's the direction of AI right now.
No.
I think right now AI is going after like large language model type activities, like generating words, coming up with creative type things. I don't know, like writing. I think people like writers are in some trouble. I think songwriters are in trouble. I think that.
I think that and like psychologists, probably police officers. You know how like have you seen that movie? Like there's
RoboCop.
RoboCop. There you go. There's one. Judges. You know, people like that.
Politicians, for sure, I would hope.
Politicians, maybe.
I don't think politicians are going to go anywhere because they're not going to let that happen.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
Of course not.
No.
I mean, you're going to want an AI to run the U.S.
Yeah. Well, I would rather AI run the U.S. than the people who are running it now, personally. There's not a single person that I can think of that runs any sort of political party or faction that I support or trust or anything. I think they're all compromised.
But then, like, and it, again, if AI were in the government or...
The question is who runs the AI?
Exactly. That's where I was going. So, I mean, it can get hacked, right?
I know. So, no, it's a really slippery slope.
Yeah.
It's a really slippery slope.
Yeah. But
I think that what has just transpired with our latest camera, I think we'll wrap it up here. But final thoughts?
I'm grateful for the opportunity to have my own business and go for it. I mean, regardless, it's like I was telling my friend, he asked me how I was doing. I was like, I'm good. He's like, how's life? It's like a roller coaster, dude. It's a fun ride, but at the same time, it has its ups and downs. But obviously, like, I've gone through a lot of things, a lot of self-growth and stuff. And now, like, before it was, like, looking at the unknown with fear and kind of holding back at times. Now I'm like, ooh, unknown. Let's go check it out.
Love that.
So... Like I said, I'm grateful. Keep going forward and, you know, just pushing.
Well, you're going to crush, bro. You're already doing a great job. You know, you're a couple of years in and, you know, a lot of people give up at this point.
Yeah. And I was close.
I know. Like, well, it sounded like last week you were close.
Yeah. I mean, granted, like at the beginning, I went through a lot of things too, you know, like.
I know.
First year that I opened my business, so it was like. Word of mouth or whatever was doing good, and then I got shingles, and then I was out for a couple months, and then when I was able to come back to work, it was already winter. So and then the following year I was doing great. Car accident, had to do therapy for concussion, and then a couple months after that went down with the herniated disc, and then was out for months, and then last year was fighting depression and anxiety and all of that stuff, and thinking about our thinking if I was going to do this, keep doing this or not do it or what was going to happen and stuff. So, but this year has been a lot better.
Love that.
For sure.
Love that. Well, thanks, brother. I appreciate your time.
Appreciate it.
We're going to run it back again.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
cool.
Next time we'll have a conversation about self growth.
We'll find a more like pointed conversation to travel down.
Yeah, for sure.
So, all right, big dog.
All right, man.
Yes, sir.